Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's the new year. Some people have questioned about the update cadence, and I purposely have slowed down the cadence on Gentleman's World for two reasons. One, from a topical matter perspective, it felt like it made better sense to do that, to kind of slow it down and get a real groove. Plus, I'm doing some changes to some of the topics there. Right now, it's a combined type podcast, and I want to try to split that out. But also because there was a plan to have a couple of guests on the show that didn't happen. And so with the change and the shift in thought process, now I've kind of realigned the priority of the podcast, kind of refined it down to what I want. It'll still have kind of the pieces that I was doing before, but it's also going to have some additional pieces, which means that I need to slow down because I'm not going to be doing those on a daily basis. I need to kind of do them a little bit less frequently. Now, I want to just stress a couple things. It's not that I'm not going to do updates, but they're not going to be nearly as frequent as I did before. Christmas, I purposely did not do an update. New Year's, I figured I'll go ahead and do an update now because it's a new year, new start, reset, put some things in perspective so that I can cover more for you that is, I believe, more relevant, in my opinion, in what this one's supposed to achieve, this podcast. So it got me thinking about the religion of self, and the updates for the religion of self will be at the forefront of the majority of my updates. There may or may not be additional technical, as far as technology, specific episodes. And then the boxing updates are going to be completely separate. So going forward, this one's going to focus more on personal thoughts and personal opinions and sharing of myself to tell a story, but also, in all candor, I have reason to believe, and I've not proven this, it's all theoretical, but I have reason to believe that the failings of my memory might be a symptom of something larger. Could be a complete nothing, because I seem to still be able to share what I want to share and express myself clearly. So it could be a bunch of nothing. But there are certain things where I'm struggling to remember where I believe that I should be able to remember. So if nothing else, then this podcast will be sharing some of those stories as an extension of the book that I wrote, centered around the religion of self. And with these stories, the biggest takeaway is not to feel bad for me or not to feel happy for me. It is to self-reflect. That's the goal. That's the call to action. So this got me thinking about, well, what do I want to talk about first? Because there's a lot of different stories, some of which I've already written in the book, some of which I haven't written in the book. And I wanted to pick one that I felt best to start with. And what I selected was triggered based on me recently going back and listening to Boys to Men in their early days, Mariah Carey in their early days, and some of the previous artists, you know, the Bobby Browns of the world, the New Editions of the world, Montel Jordans of the world, Donnell Jones, so on and such. There's a lot of them, but also Prince, who we lost, Michael Jackson, who we lost, Freddie Jackson still around, but Luther Vandross we lost, Whitney Houston we lost, and with music generally come memories, at least for me. So as I'm recalling all these different songs, they help to ignite memories of things that I once experienced that I felt was worth sharing. That's what I'm going to pretty much talk about now. One of these memories that came to mind had to do with people I've dated in the past. And just for, again, candor's sake, I've dated a lot of women, a lot, probably too many. But it was because I used to joke with my friends, or they would rather joke with me, around the concept of love and trying to define it, trying to figure out what it is. And one of my friends, his name's Hakeem, he used to say to another friend, you know, someday you're going to fall in love. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen. And this other friend, his name's George, he would laugh and joke and say, I'll never fall in love, with kind of a deadpan voice, because that's how he was. And he's dated quite a few women, I know. And as far as I know, he's never really been in love. He might have thought he was, but I don't think he has been. Maybe he feels that he was. But this song that I listened to, and this was specifically Boyz II Men, because back then Boyz II Men used to look like a couple of my friends, reminded me of that statement that he made about falling in love and saying that one day it would happen. I'm fortunate enough to say that it never happened to me. You're like, why is that fortunate? Because when you're confident that you've never found a thing, it means that you've been able to define what it is and how you would know how to identify it. See, when I was younger, I didn't really even know what it was that I was searching for. From the first girlfriend I ever had, who my mom couldn't stand, but to be fair to her, to this girl, she was, of every girl I ever dated, like, our breakup was probably the most amicable, peaceful, friendly breakup you could ever think of. And it got me thinking back to, did I really love her? And the answer is no. But why? Why was that the case? So let's call her Char, which is kind of short for her real name. With her, it was so organic, so random, so out of left field. And there are stories and things that happened to me that only she knows, that even my mom doesn't know, my dad doesn't know, that my other friends know. Things happened with us that she's the only one, far as I know, she's never told anybody, because anybody that I interacted with that was mutual between us never mentioned anything. So as far as I know, she's never disclosed it. Now, it's possible she may have talked to some people and then those people are keeping it mindful and respectful. That's all possible. I don't know. I honestly don't know that answer. All I can tell you is that there are things that happened, situations where I was even near death at one point, possibly. I don't know. That she only knows. She only knows the details. And it was all on me. Had nothing to do with her. It was all on me. And I can see that even at the point that, okay, I was being stupid. But even then, even with that, I can only say this girl that of every girl I've ever dated, we had arguments, but they were never to the point of excessive anger or any of that kind of stuff. It was more, she was a very distrustful person by nature. And so anything that smelled like smoke, she would instantly key in on. Anything that gave her a sense that I didn't like her, or anything that gave her a sense that I didn't want to be with her, or anything, she would key in on it and then she would attack it. And to be fair, I didn't really give her an excuse to not feel that way because I'm 18. I'm not thinking about trying to justify myself to anybody. I'm thinking about my own business, which at the time, I'm making good money. I'm the first one with a car. I'm the first one with a cell phone. And I'm not thinking about her issues in my head. I'm not thinking about it. I'm just thinking about, far as I'm concerned, I didn't do nothing wrong. Now, the reason in hindsight that I kind of, I don't regret what happened, but I've processed it and have said, okay, I know for a fact that I could not have loved her like I thought I might have. She had two sisters, two younger sisters. The two younger sisters, I met them first, and I was friends with them first, especially the middle one. So it's a young one, middle, and then her. And then she's the only one that's directly my age. The middle one's like a year younger, I believe, and then the younger one's like 5 years younger or something like this. And so I met the younger ones first, and they were friends with me long before I ever met Char. Now, the one in the middle would not... She never gave any impression that there was anything between us other than friendship. But she did treat me in a way that was different than the way she treated other guys, as far as I could tell. When I first got my car, there were times when she would ask me for money, and I would tell her no, because at the time I'm thinking, no, I'm not giving money to anybody, and I don't want you asking for it because I got bills to pay. That's how I thought. But my job opened up the opportunity to stuff mail, and then anybody who wanted to stuff some mail and make a little extra money, sure. Okay, so I tell her about it. You can earn the money you want by just stuffing some envelopes. It's easy work. She's pissed off at me. She never really forgave me for not giving her the cash outright, but she eventually agrees. So then she tells me, okay, I need a ride in. Can I ride in with you in the morning when she gets approved? Okay, no problem. So then she tells me where her apartment is. That morning, I get up early because I always do because I got to be there by 8, and I'm pretty studious about being there on time. So I go to her apartment. I'm like 30 minutes early. We got to set out because it's down in Mission Valley. So I get to her apartment. I meet her dad. Her dad's a cool dude. He looks like he's fresh out of the 60s, but he's a cool dude, really cool. And he's tough, but he's not like a jerk. He's just like stern looking, like all dads. And he tells me, yeah, just wait here. And I'm in the living room just waiting because she's not ready yet. A few minutes later, she comes out, and she didn't know I was going to be that early, but she comes out, and she's got to be as hoochified as I've ever seen a girl in my life. Even to this day, I can't think of any more hoochified girl. Well, that's not true. But generally speaking, at the time, she was the most hoochified I had seen. And I'm embarrassed because this is a business workplace. It's business casual generally. For this subset of people, for the envelopes, they don't care, but it's an image impression of me. I'm bringing this ghetto hoochie up into the place. So that's what's going through my head at the time. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to. First of all, they didn't care. The workplace didn't eventually care. And I figured it's her kind of stake to fall on. No problem. So pick her up, driving to work. She does her thing. Apparently she does a pretty good job, although she's the most hoochified in the whole room. Everybody else is wearing like sweats or jeans or nice shirts. And here she comes like a hoochie. Hey, that's what it is. Okay. She gets paid. That passes. And I don't hear much of anything from her beyond this, other than the occasional, hey, how you doing on the street? And then I give her a ride one time. I'm coming home another day. I'm coming home from work. And I look over and I see Char. Now, Char, up to this point, I knew who she was, but we had never talked. We had never formally met. There was never any direct interaction. At that time, it was more awareness versus her two sisters, where I was really friends with them. And I pull in to the driveway and I get what I need to get. And I'm coming back out because I'm going to go to the mall because this is kind of my routine. She flags me down as I'm going by. She's talking to some of the other people. And she says, can you give me a ride to go get my hair done? Again, I've never met the girl officially, don't really know her, but she's one of the people that we hung out with on the street every now and then, so I'm cool with anybody on the street, sure, why not? We drive, and the layout of the streets, you've got our street, and then the cross street is Skyline, and then the other street's called Benson. We make that turn onto Skyline. She turns to me in the car. Now, nobody knows this. I've told high level, but not the deets. She turns to me in the car right after I get off our street, and she says, look, I'm interested in you. I seen you looking at me. I've been looking at you. Let's talk and see where this goes. Just straight out. She's the first, not only, but she's the first girl to ever ask me out. Never has a girl ever asked me out at that point. Had never happened. That's when I learned that it appeals to me, and I prefer that because I don't have to think about it. I don't have to work for it, and I don't have to take the risk that it's a no. So I loved it. So I pretty much just kind of rolled with it. I didn't really give her an answer right away. I'm silent. I'm like, okay, well, you know, yes, I've been looking at you, but it's more in my mind. I'm just being aware of your presence. We go and do the hair and we go shopping to get the extension piece, and then goes to a friend's house to get her hair done. And the friend says, well, who's this? And she's like, yeah, we're talking. Apparently we are, but we're not officially a thing yet. Things just kind of go forward from there, where every evening, so I get off at work at 5, I'm home by 6 because of traffic. Every evening from 6 p.m. all the way to midnight, she's at my house, in this case my parents' house, with me, and we're hanging out. And again, this is stuff that many people, I'd say none of the friends I can think of know this story. And trust me, there's a reason I'm telling the story this way. Every evening from 6 to midnight, she's at my house, cuddled up with me. Now, people are making assumptions about us because of the way she looks and because of her presence. She has a very specific presence. And anybody who remembers the Steve Harvey show from way back yesteryear, the Steve Harvey show, it came later because it was something I didn't recognize because I didn't really watch it. But the Steve Harvey show had an actress, and the actress was a dead ringer for this girl. To the point I'm like, okay, is that her? Because I really wasn't sure. I'm like, it just looked dead on like her. And so as I took a double take, I'm like, is that the girl? Is that Char? Wait a minute. Is she double dipping or what the heck's going on? And apparently it was not her, but it was just close enough that, you know, you could easily make the mistake that it might have been her. If you want to go look at a photo, the actress The name is Netfa Perry. She played Sarah on the Steve Harvey Show. And it's important that you look as she was on the show, because it's the visual of the braids and the way the makeup was done. And Char didn't wear a lot of makeup, but I'm saying just the visual, dead ringer, dead on ringer for the way Char looked. I was shocked. I thought it was her. I actually believed it was her. So this, I was thinking, okay, I don't really understand anything about this girl. I don't know anything about her. We've never talked about it. And that's where she tells me what her career is that she works at a strip club. And of course, this is the first time I've encountered a girl that's worked at the strip club. Of course, I've encountered many that have, because it seems like it's a popular thing to do when you're fresh out of high school for many girls. So I didn't know prior, but then we learned that, yes, she works at a strip club. It doesn't bother me because for me, and she told me this, ultimately, because I work in a strip club, there are certain limits and barriers that I'm never going to cross. And I want to make sure you understand that it's not anything about you. It's just the way that we're trained and the way that we're conditioned to not get excessively close with different people, to not do things that's going to position us to, you know, different problems and whatnot. So we don't, there are things we just don't do. So we never kissed, as an example. And she would straight say, if you ever run into any girl who doesn't want to kiss you, just understand that it's not personal. It's just the way that we're conditioned. And they're probably a stripper because that's the way that you're taught, because you never know who might be a customer. Not saying that I was, but she said, you never know. You never know who might be. And because of that risk, we just don't do it. So I'm learning a little bit about this girl. I know now where she works. I kind of have a sense why she's even hanging with me, but I don't know more than this. And she's spending every evening with me. Now, in hindsight, that was unhealthy. It was unhealthy for us to be together that much. Just all the time, constantly together, was extremely unhealthy. And when I was processing this at the time, as an 18-year-old, yes, I'm benefiting from this attractive girl who's next to me all the time and we're hanging out all the time, but it hit a fever pitch, and there was a different event that I cover in my book where it wasn't her fault, it was nothing she did, but I mentally felt like this is not healthy and I want to be away from you for just a day and kind of hang with my friend. Well, that was also a mistake because I actually did it. And it was actually a mistake on a couple of occasions. The middle sister now, let's call her Lean. The middle sister, she would, the one that was my friend and who would just kind of talk to me on occasion and there was never anything serious. All of a sudden she's starting to say and do things that are kind of sketchy. Flirtatious things, you know, how does my ass look in these shorts and that kind of stuff, and wearing the hoochie stuff around me and always wanting to hang out with me where she never did really before, and asking me to take her to different places and go shopping for jewelry together and having the jeweler think that we're a couple or about to be, because we did look visually compatible if you looked at us side by side, certainly more than me and Char. Like, me and Lean looked like we belonged together. Me and Char, she looked like way out of my class. Because at the time, I kind of bore a resemblance to a darker version of Tevin Campbell, so I was nowhere close to what I then became later. And so she's doing these things to kind of position that we're kind of a couple and that she's comfortable talking this where she never did before. And because we were spending that time, because I didn't mind giving a ride, I'm not thinking anything of it. I'm not giving her the time of day. In fact, there were a couple of times I pushed her off and didn't want to answer a question, didn't play her game. Okay, so then Char now sees that Lean is hitting on me and all this stuff, and she's thinking that I'm reciprocating and I'm playing it, and that I'm trying to play her and I'm playing with this other one, and it's like, no, I'm not. I'm actually getting rid of her, but yes, I am trying to kind of get away from you, but it's not because I don't want to be with you. It's because we're spending too much freaking time together. At the same time, your sister's kind of playing this game, and I don't know where she's coming from, yet she's my friend, and so I'm not going to turn her off completely. And so I'm kind of stuck in the middle. Fast forward, Char gets over this a little bit. Fast forward, and she asked me to take them to the club down in Tijuana. And it's her, Lean, and then their other family member. We called her sister. No problem. I'll drop you off and then call me when you want to be picked up. She wants me to be there with her. I don't do the club thing. Never have, never will. So, but I want her to have fun. I don't want her to think that I don't want to be, you know, her to be able to have fun without me. Like, to me, this is a key opportunity to be separate for some period of time, so we're not always together. So I'm looking at it as a blessing in a way. So, okay, so I dropped them off, and I say, call me whenever you want to get picked up. It's Tijuana, so it's pretty darn far, and I'm concerned because I know they're going to get out late, and I don't want them to be alone in the dark and all that. So I'm saying, yeah, I'll pick you up. Time's about 11 o'clock-ish, maybe, and get a call. It's Char, and she's like, okay, ready to come pick up. Okay, so I'm going down there, pick him up, and sister apparently is gone with somebody else, or she's staying, and it's now just Char and Lean. Okay, it's a little bit awkward just because, again, Lean's been playing these games, and I don't know what her angle is, and Char's there, and I don't know if they've talked or there's been some setup or anything where they're in cahoots. I don't know what's going on and why it's just the two of them. Conspiracy theories are spinning in my head. No problem. I'll just play it cool. I'm going to drop Lean off first because the way you come back from the freeway, so you come up the freeway, and the way you get off the freeway and head back, her apartment is right on route. And remember, I said that I knew where her apartment was because I've been there before because I picked her up to go to this job. So I've, yes, been to her apartment. Yes, I've been in her apartment. Yes, I've met her dad. Yes, I was waiting for her and all this stuff. Char never knew any of that stuff. So she didn't know that I knew where Lean lived. She didn't know that I knew that I'd been in the apartment. So now I get to the place. I know exactly where to park because the apartment's fascia is right there near the parking. So I know exactly where to park because I've been there. I know exactly what stairs she's going up. So Lean gets out of the car. She says, thank you, gets out of the car, starts going up the stairs, waves through the front window. And I just wave back, not the moving wave, but just a quick hand up. And then I start backing out. Char gives me I didn't look at her, but I could feel it. The most evil stare you can think of from a human being to another outside of the look that I gave another friend, Luis. It was one of those, I want to kill you type looks. And I could feel it, but I didn't acknowledge it because I'm figuring, okay, maybe she's just wanting to talk to me about something. Maybe something happened or at the club, you know, maybe it's just cool. And as I'm pulling out of the driveway of the complex and we're headed on route, she's like, why are you waving at her? And I didn't expect that question. It was out of the clear blue. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you doing waving at her for? She waved. I waved back. I don't understand. Yeah, but how did you even know where she lives? And like, it starts this whole chain reaction of skepticism and paranoia because everything's falling into place in her mind that she thought I was messing with Lean. Because, yes, I was hanging out with Lean, but we weren't doing anything. And I was actually pushing her away because I'm with Char and I'm trying to be respectful. At the same time, my friend is acting kind of weird off to the side and I'm trying to help her out. And something's weird with these two and I don't know what the heck it is. And now I got Char accusing me of something that I didn't do because I waved at her sister trying to be courteous and try to be a gentleman. And I was damned if I did and damned if I didn't because if I had gone back to the house first, it would have been a roundabout trip and I would have had to have been alone with Lean again to drop Lean off. Like it's nothing I would have done would have won this situation that I'm in. So in Char's mind, she's already confirmed something that had no basis in any facts whatsoever. So I'm not acknowledging this. I felt like she was acting childish and I kind of just played it off and just said, I don't know what you're doing. I'm waving. It's not a big deal. I waved. And in her mind, she probably got more suspicious because I'm not acknowledging it and I'm not talking about it. Fast forward a little bit more. She and a friend of hers, so I come home and I want to be alone again because I want to have my own time. I just feel like we're spending too much time together and that was part of the reason why this has happened. Little do I know that the more time we spend apart, the more, let's say, suspicious she becomes and the more paranoid she becomes because she's thinking that I'm spending time with Lean, who I haven't talked to in ages now at this point. And so I come home and I want to be alone. I don't want to be with her. I don't want to be with anybody. Maybe my friend, but other than that, I don't want to do anything. So I come back from work and I know she wants to come over. And so I stop at the near top of the street and I'm asking one of the people out there, have you seen Char? And they're like, no. Cool. So I go in the house. I grab a book or something real fast, coming back out and I want to leave quick. Here she comes, dropped off by somebody else and flags me down. Like, so I have to acknowledge her because I'm trying to be the gentleman again. And she says, hey, where are you going? Let's hang out. Didn't want to do that. Wanted to be alone. Didn't say that, but in my mind, but I'm like, whatever. I can't be a jerk about it. She's just going to be more suspicious. She's going to think I'm going on Lean's place or whatever. So fine. So her and her friend, and they get in the car, and we go to the swap meet. There's a swap meet down the road from where we live. And we go there, and then she sees a dress, and I think the dress is terrible, but she likes the dress. It fits her normal style of dress, and she wants the dress. It's a $50 dress, so it's not a lot of money. And that's fine. I had just gotten paid. However, as I did with Lean, I wasn't inclined to give any money. It's like, you work the strip club. You told me that. So you got to be bankrolling. So why am I paying for you? So I said no. And so then she's like, why don't you want to buy clothes for me? And I'm trying to buy nice clothes for you. And I'm trying to look nice for you, which is all true. At the same time, again, in my 18 period, I'm thinking, it's like, everybody got to go for your own. You got bills. You got a job. You should be doing it on your own because you want to impress me out of your own pocket, not for me buying for you. And the fact that, see, it probably wouldn't have been that big of a deal if Lean had not also asked me for money separately, which Char didn't know about. So now I'm seeing both sisters asking me for money. And now I'm feeling like, okay, you guys are trying to take me for a ride. And then this contention between you guys, where you're getting me stuck in the middle, there's something weird here. So that was part of why I was pushed back. So she's all pissy. She's all, and the friend's like, why are you tripping on him like this? This doesn't make any sense. He was polite about it. He's honest about it. He's got bills, you know. And I did say at some point, look, you know, maybe in the future when I don't have bills, I might be okay to do it or whatever. I was trying to play it off. I wouldn't have, but I was trying to play it off like I might. So the friend's on my side because she sees Char's acting like a child. Okay, so now let's get something to eat. We're still out. Fine, I'll offer something to eat. And for that, I don't mind paying for it because it's just food. Like, it's not like a $50 freaking dress that you're wearing for everybody. It's just food and we're all about. Okay, so I asked Char, well, what do you want to eat? Because you choose, because you're kind of the guest here. I don't understand why you do the food, you can't buy the dress. It's the same thing. So again, the friend is really getting on her case because she's acting like a child. I've offered to do the food, and that's the best I can do right now. And Char's just chewing me out. She's consistently chewing me out, and I'm tired of hearing it. So we go to Subway, and anybody who is local to San Diego and knows the neighborhoods that I'm referencing, there's a place called the Four Corners of Death is what it was called, and a Green Cat Liquor and all this stuff. And then down the road, when you're headed towards what used to be Church's Chicken, I think it's gone. There used to be a Social Security Administration building. And then across from that, there was this shopping center, and they built a Subway right in that strip. That's where it was. And they had a Starbucks they added. So the Subway that's right there on that strip, that's where we went. So we go in. Char's still chewing me out as we're walking. Okay, so I'm zoning her out. I'm kind of white noising her out. I'm not trying to acknowledge her. I feel like she's being a child, and I don't want to hear this. I just don't want to hear it. The friend is like, man, why are you tripping on him like this? Okay, so we're in line. I'm embarrassed. Fortunately, there's nobody there, but the store people are kind of looking at us like we're crazy because I'm not acknowledging her, and she's chewing me out over a $50 dress and all this. Old man comes walking in. He's got a coat, older dude. He looks like Garrett Morrison a little bit in older age. Comes in. He comes in behind us in the line. He's just staring at Char and then staring at me, and he's just listening while she's chewing. And then eventually he gets to the point. He taps and says, excuse me, what's going on? What's the problem here? And then she starts chewing off, you know, he won't do this for me, and he's my boyfriend, and he doesn't want me to look nice for him, and he won't buy me nice things, and all this, right? So then this guy, who I don't know who he is, he looks at her, looks at me, reaches in his wallet, pulls out a $50 bill, hands it to me, and said, you know, a gentleman should always buy his lady nice things. Go buy her that dress. She's stunned in silence. I'm stunned in silence. And I'm embarrassed because now this guy, who didn't have to do it, comes out of his pocket because she's tripping and hands me a $50 bill to do something nice for her. And I'm embarrassed because it shouldn't have got to that point. And had she just kept her mouth shut, we wouldn't have had to do this. So I'm trying to give him the dollar back. And he's like, no, just buy her the dress. It's cool. Turns around and leaves. And he gave me a business card with the 50 rolled up in the 50. To presumably contact him back later. And then all of a sudden in my mind, I'm like, okay, fine. We can get the dress. No problem. She tried to take the 50 out of my hand. And I'm holding back. I'm like, no, he said to buy you the dress. That's what we're going to do. I'll go down there and I'll buy you the dress. And she's chewing me out because she wants the 50. So at this point, I've convinced, okay, this was basically a scam from the jump. You didn't really want the dress. You just want the money, just like your sister, in my head. And so I'm at that point, I'm done with her. Her friend is done with her because her friend knows she's tripping and she's out of her mind. And I don't know what it's coming from, except whatever this thing is between her and her sister that I'm not even in the loop on. We get the food. We go back, and I'll never forget it. I pull into my driveway, and there's points in my life where I will get so angry that there is physical heat generated from me. I can feel it. And if somebody doesn't get out of my way, I'm liable to do something I'll regret. And this is where I was at. I was quiet. I did not say anything at all and was just heated. I was heated at the way she acted, more embarrassed than anything else, because there was no reason for a grown adult to act the way she did over the dress. Now, I had given her the 50 because at that point, I'm just done with it. After this, she turns and said, look, I'm sorry I got to that point, and I know you were trying to da-da-da, and I realized that I just got angry, and da-da-da. And I'm knowing that it's doublespeak. I know she's not serious, and she doesn't mean what she's saying. She's just doublespeaking. And I just say, get out. Why? I'm sorry. I just said, get out. Just get out. So then she gets pissed off, and then she starts badmouthing me on the street. That's cool. Her friend's like, man, you're stupid. Why are you acting like that? He could have tore off and hit you, for all you know. I wouldn't have hit her, but I know how I felt, which was I might have just dumped her. I just need to be away from her. And I knew that if we had connected that day, something would have exploded. And that's why I didn't want her to be there. I wanted to have that space apart. See, later, I can reflect and say, we were just together too darn much, just too darn much. And it created all this kind of psychological mumbo in her head about what might be happening. And I never knew the backstory behind why she was acting this way and with her sister and all this. And I never did solve the puzzle piece about her sister. Now, after this, and we're getting close to Christmas now, and I'll never forget this, that it was close to Christmas time because I remember the Christmas tree when this happened. Now we're together. She comes over. We're hanging out together. And she asks me about a phone call I had with Lean, which the phone call was more about, okay, what's going on here? And are you going down here? And you're going over here? It was a kind of what's happening type call. There was nothing special about it. And the way she asked the question about, have you been talking to her, plural? And all I said was, you know, there've been times when she might've called me. And other than that, no, because that's the truth. So then she said something about something that she had heard or something somebody told her or whatever. And then she said, another lie. There was never a lie. I told the truth. Talking implies that it's a recurrent, ongoing thing. No, but people might call me on a regular. And I did say that she has called, but it's just a call to say, hey, what the heck's going on? So then she's not happy. And then it was, again, one of the most amicable splits in, there was no hostility behind the split. It was more, she was not able to trust me in her mind. But the root of her distrust was based on things that she made up. There was no basis behind anything that she was thinking. And if she knew the other side of it, which my fault was, I should have just simply straight up told her, your sister's trying to hit on me over here, and I pushed her away, and so she's pissed at me. She'll call me every now and then for the work or whatever. But other than that, she has nothing to do with me, and she's not going to have anything to do with me because she knows that I'm trying to make this work. I never said anything to Char. So I let her create this myth in her head, but because I'm 18, I'm not even going to put the effort forward to try to fight that battle. It just wasn't worth it. It's like we're too young for this stupidity, and I already know that we're too early to be thinking about anything long term. Okay, so then we break up, and then later I'm talking to the youngest sister. Now, the youngest sister had always treated me like a brother. She's cool. Patricia, she's cool. Cool as a fan. She's always treated me like that big brother type. And she was kind of cheering me on, like cheering us on to be together. Well, I was asking about Char because I was concerned. I want to make sure she's okay. And turns out, yeah, she had married some guy, some Jamaican guy somewhere. And the youngest sister, she was saying, you know, just did you know that she was trying to settle down? She was trying to get married and build a family and kind of settle down. I'm like, no, And she's like, she never told you? No, she never told me any of this. I never knew any of that. If I think back, I can see inklings of potentially that being a case because of how much time she spent with me, but I perceived it as a negative. We never talked about anything of the sort, ever. The most we ever did was watch movies, play video games, host parties every now and then, and go out, you know, to like malls or something. That's it. We didn't do anything. We didn't kiss. We didn't do anything at all that would lead me to think that this girl would ever want to settle down with me, especially because we're 18. And we all know that when you're 18, it's a lot harder to kind of settle to one because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. So I wasn't thinking any kind of long-term anything with her at all. And to be honest, had we had that conversation, I probably would have conspired to get her to dump me because I know when I was 18, I was in no way ready to be settled down and married, not because I didn't want it, but because I wasn't ready for it. Mentally, I wasn't ready for it. I wouldn't have been ready for that until I hit maybe 23, 24, easy. And even then, it would have been a stretch. It would have been not till maybe my 30s where I was truly comfortable in my own mind and my own skin to say I can really settle down and get into a groove. But the thing is, the person I evolved to when I was in my 30s would not have been compatible with the person that she was at that time, meaning that she was so different mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. She was so different. We got along because we had things in common, sure. And there was a little bit of attraction, I think, on both sides, sure. And we seemed to mesh, generally speaking. Like, there wasn't a time when she did something other than the dress episode that overtly pissed me off. There wasn't anything where she would just act stupid or pick a fight. Like, she would get angry about things, and she would be suspicious on things and be paranoid on stuff. But that's, like, normal. Everybody does that. So I wasn't taking anything that she was saying or doing as anything other than just the normal course of being with somebody that you just kind of have to work it out. I just think that we spent too much time together, number one, and we wanted to spend that much time together because we enjoyed each other's company, but we could have done that as friends. And to me, that's the biggest mistake, is we did not start as friends. We just jumped right into a relationship. And I put that on myself because I didn't push back when she expressed interest in me. I just kind of ran with it. It was cool because I got to meet a person who I felt was a really good person at heart, but there were so many underlying things and issues that we couldn't have solved because we weren't friends first, that it wasn't going to work. So then after we break up now I go back to Lean and I'm trying to clarify what she was trying to do. And I'm trying to understand, were you really trying to get with me? And if that's the case, why and what the heck's going on? And Lean says, and I'll never forget the quote, "Well, I want to be with you, but I can't, and I don't know why not." Okay, so now it's different. Now all your flirting and all your behaviors are gone now that I'm no longer with your sister. So really all that was designed to just get us to break up, and you were successful. So either you were spiteful of her and it wasn't really about me, or you're upset that I picked her over you, even though you never made any sort of a move or any indication when I wasn't with her. So now I'm part of this whole triad where me and Lean are falling out. We're not together in anything. And me and Char just broken up. And it's an amicable breakup in the sense that I think we remained friends conceptually. And I'll tell you about this in a second. But we just couldn't be together. I actually agree with that decision in hindsight because we just were diametrically opposed. If in her mind she wanted to be married, settle down, to have kids at 18 years old, I wasn't ready for it. I know I wasn't ready for it, and it would have been a big mistake. And my life would have been dramatically different. I think it would have been hard for us to get along, and I think we would have divorced just because we were so darn different. And her choice of career, I know that she eventually would shift out of this, but I think that just where she was so much a level above where I was mentally. It just wouldn't have worked. I would have held her back. So in some ways, I'm relieved that we did break up. Now, sometime later, here's an interesting story. Sometime after this, I want to say it was like two or three. I want to say it was the new year. Pretty sure it was the new year. My routine at this time was to get the paper and to read horoscopes. I was really big into horoscopes, and I knew her birth date, so I understood hers and I understood mine. And I would look at the horoscope every single day. This one day, I look at the horoscope, and it says, somebody from your past is going to come back into your life. The moment I read that sentence all the way to the period, I hear it knock at the door, and it's her. And she just came to see how I was doing, what's going on with you, what's news, make sure you're healthy, just like with me, how are you doing? And we left it there. Like, that was the last time I had spoken with her. But she came back to at least check in on me. That told me that it's like one of these most amicable splits, and we just both reconciled. It just wasn't going to work, but there was not like animus between us. And I'm happy that it ended that way. Now, again, whoever she else talked to, where something else different than what we talked about, I don't know that answer. But from what I can tell, it remained an amicable split. And so I wasn't worried about it. And then a few years later, Mom told me that, yeah, she had stopped by and was looking for me. I'm assuming it was her. But I was long gone at that time and never heard anything. So the reason that I'm sharing that experience is when you think about love, like the definition of love, if you're young, it's harder to define it. But when you get a little bit older, it's easy to know when you weren't in love. Like, I can safely say I didn't love Char, but I had love for her. She was part of the history, of course. But as a friend, she was one of the best friends I ever had, honestly. In how we spent time and hung out. Like, it was just like any of the other friends I would have. It's just that she's attractive instead of ugly, right? You know, the dudes. But she was just a cool person. She was cool to hang out with. And it made me feel like we should have started as friends first and spent time as friends with no connection, no attraction, no hook, no nothing. And had we done that, we would have learned enough about each other that she would have identified that it probably wasn't going to work as a relationship, but we could still be the cool friends that we were when we were in a relationship. It's a weird thing, because then there wouldn't have been any expectations on either side. It's just kind of like we're hanging out, having a good time. Well, that's not love in the definition of love as I know it, but I might have love for a person and I have love for her. Absolutely. Now, contrast that with the girlfriend I had immediately after her, which was an absolute catastrophe, and I definitely didn't love that one. She was a nightmare to deal with. I can't even call her a friend. I can't say that we should ever talked or met. And there were so many fundamental issues with the way that she perceived the relationship. It just was never going to work, and it was extremely toxic. And I can safely say that when you have, and in that situation, when you have somebody who is your same race, so in my case, African-American, somebody who's your same race, who celebrates, and when I say celebrates, I mean laugh, I mean smile, I mean applaud, celebrates somebody who is white calling you a nigga, and you celebrate that, now you're a coon. As somebody who is black and you celebrate that, you're the definition of a coon. And so with her, the moment she did that, which she only did because she would pick fights, unlike Char, she would actively pick fights. She would actively try to set you off. She would actively try to make you angry. And when somebody would respond, because people are going to call you out on it, then this happens and you celebrate it. You just became a coon, and any coon is automatically my enemy. And I'm talking coon in the true definition, as in you are supporting that racism of people of your own race. Like, it didn't even have to do with us being together, just that we're the same race and you support that. You are now my enemy. And so I turned on her. I actively turned on her. I never physically had any altercation with her, but verbally I turned on her, and verbally I said things to her that I don't regret, because we were never compatible. I didn't realize it till it was too late, and I should have cut that one off at the knees. Well, when I look at the two of them side by side, they're so different in what I would expect. Char, in how she presented herself, she presented herself like somebody who ran the streets. She presented herself like somebody who doesn't have one boyfriend. And maybe she didn't, but when I look at the fact that she's at my house from 6 to midnight, every single night on the clock, every single night, I can't help but think, man, this girl must really be true to me and trying to make this work. And then with this other one over here, and you're somewhat cool, but then you're picking fights over silly stuff, stupid things. You've never grown, even now, you've never grown out of that childish behavior. And then you do something that makes you a coon. Now you've turned me into your enemy. And I look at the way that we separated on both these. With Char, it's like it was so peaceful and amicable in the way we separated that I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that if I were to meet her now, she would embrace me as a friend. She would give me a hug. She would say, it's great to see you again. And I've missed talking to you and I miss hanging out with you. And I know she's married, or at least was married. She might be divorced now, I think, and has at least one child. And I wouldn't care because she's part of the history and we were cool during that period of time. And certain fundamental parts, she would not have changed. She's not a different person at the core, but she's probably evolved and matured just as I have. But at the core, she's the same person she always was and the same person that I have love for. Whereas this other one, she certainly hasn't changed at all as I talk to her. And in fact, she makes me feel sad about not just the human race, but African-American women in general, because she sets a bad example for African-American women. That's how bad this girl is. Well, these experiences defined for me, okay, I've never been in love then, because I could never make either side work. I couldn't make one work where everything seemed to fall in play, and I couldn't make one work where it was this battle, and I couldn't make these work in these other ones that I had over time. So that means I've never been in love, and I'm okay with that, because I was able to have love for certain people. And those people I still have love for because they earned it. They worked in on their side to earn some of my respect for things and then some of my respect for other things. And we were able to be compatible in one way. And maybe we just took a different route that didn't make sense for us, but it didn't mean that we're completely against each other. So there are some people that I still talk to, you know, that I've dated or that I've experienced and spent time with and whatnot. And I still talk to them and they're cool people and I got nothing but love for them. And those are the ones that caused me to reconcile. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with having love for someone, even though I may not have experienced what love truly is in terms of loving someone. And I'm okay with not having that experience because now I know how to recognize it when it does or does not happen. And to my friend Hakeem, if he happens to listen to this, it's like, I told you, some of us simply will never fall in love. But the reason that you would know that you did or didn't or do or don't is to experience what it's like to not be in love. And I had to go through that pain with certainly with those two, but certainly with everybody else as well. I had to go through the two different experiences. I also had to find myself. I had to understand, hey, look, somebody that acts like a coon, I'm certainly not okay with. I'm not willing to tolerate a lot of things, but I'm certainly not going to tolerate that. I'm certainly not going to tolerate somebody that is so against their own race that they would do something like that. And I have to rethink now what I normally would have tolerated as a young person. Because as a young person, I might have just brushed it off the shoulder. In that situation, which happened when I was 19, I believe, I didn't roll it off the shoulder. If I had acted on what I wanted to act on, of the three people involved, her, me, and the white guy, two of us would have ended up dead if I had acted on it. So the thing I can celebrate about myself is that I didn't make that choice. And the reason I didn't make that choice, folks, is because of Char. Here's why. Knowing the way that I felt when I was spending time with Char told me that there's always this other side where there is a compatibility and it may be okay that you don't end up in a relationship that might be okay. And being able to reconcile that sometimes a relationship isn't the right answer. Sometimes you just need to have that good friend that you feel comfortable with and it just feels right. You can talk and you can spend time and have fun and whatever it is that you enjoy and you enjoy the company as long as you don't do it too much because you can't miss somebody if they won't go away. So that was my lesson learned was the only thing that really I believe derailed what we were doing was we spent way too much time together. And by spending so much time together, we never gave a chance to miss each other. And then when we were apart, it just created all this paranoia that then damaged the relationship. And had we just been friends, none of that would have needed to apply. I learned this and I adjusted so that when I met this other nutcase, then it's like, okay, I know what to expect of you, which is I'm not going to be excessive with it. Now, we did talk way too much as well. On the second, we talked way too much. We were spending too much time together. But the way that she dealt with it was different than the way Char dealt with it, which told me the problem wasn't me because I didn't change between the two of them. Char handled it much better than this other one did. This other one was, it's almost like a parasitic deal. like she couldn't survive without talking to me at some point, some level, and without picking fights with me. And that just kept her moving, kept her thriving, as opposed to Char, where it was more like us being together should be treated as a privilege as far as me. And I didn't respect it as a privilege. I kind of felt like it was holding both of us back, and it was, but I never told her that. I never outright told her, whereas I told this other one, and then all I got was this reaction on the back end. But I know if I told Char, she'd have been cool with it. She'd have been a little bit early on, not later, early on. She'd have been cool with it, just say, okay, I'll come like, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday instead of every single day, just so we have some time separate, or maybe it's only 4 hours instead of six or whatever to make some adjustments if I had talked to her early on. But I was so embedded in, I wanted to be with her so much, it didn't even occur to me to think of that. That didn't mean I was in love with her. It just simply meant that I enjoyed her company. And as I got older, I had certain expectations of what I wanted from a relationship that I never found. She was the only one that gave me anything close to it. But even that was needed some adjustments. It didn't mean I was in love with her. It meant I had love for her. And I had to start being okay with that. I had to start being okay with just having love for people. Once I was able to adjust that mentally, then relationships became less of importance for me. It was more about connections. Connections with people of quality. People that are worth my time. People that are not going to hold me back. People that are not going to be disruptive to my goals. And ultimately recognize that I am an individual just like they're an individual. And together, we all have our own things that we're doing separately. At some point, we will come together, but it does not have to be all the time. And it doesn't have to be in an amorous type of relationship. It can simply be in that type of association that combines good friends. There are people I talk to that I haven't talked to for 20-something years that they know they can text me out of the clear blue and we will have a conversation just like we had never left, because that was the kind of connection that people that I have love for, and they're rare. It's hard to find them. And I think people that search for amorous relationships, they overlook these kinds of quality, solid friendships, especially now in the social media era, that I think would be more enriching, more fulfilling, more long-term ones you can depend on. You know, they used to say, that kind of friend that doesn't judge you when you do something wrong or you screw up, they're there to try to help you and pick you up. And that's what I had to learn to find, because I had some of them, but I didn't recognize them for what they were. And we went the wrong route. That happened a couple of times. And then I had others that I was focused on in the wrong way for the wrong reasons. And at some point, I'll probably tell you the story about the girl that I completely did wrong when I worked at one of the cell phone companies earlier in the days. I'll probably tell you that story because you'll probably shake your head yourself. But it was another example of that same thing where I had it right there and I just made the wrong decision. And that's when I was able to learn from these type situations that I've never really been in love. And that's okay, because I don't need to be in love as long as I have love for certain people that I feel are worth that love. They've earned it and they're there and they're not going away. So hopefully that story has been at least inspirational, if nothing else, about love and kind of how it works from my perspective. Whether you agree or disagree, doesn't matter. It's just from my perspective, what I need to understand is I don't need to be in love. I don't need it. What I needed is to make sure that there are people that are worth having love for, that earn it, they're there. And I know that years after the fact, I can talk to them and everything's cool, just like when we were kids. And there's only a select few of those type people. Most of the people, because I went the wrong way when we were younger, we wouldn't have that kind of relationship. Now it's too much damage because we were trying too hard to be something that we were not. And I will close by saying Happy New Year to everybody out there. Hopefully it's going to be a good year for the financial situation of everybody. I'm hopeful that the government will finally get a clue that they need to let go of their totalitarian power, get rid of the emergency that no longer exists, let people get back to their normal lives, because this idea of having love for people and being around people is part and parcel to having that societal effect of we can all be in the same place, we can all talk to people without treating people like they are diseased, quote unquote, and get away from this caste-based separation that we're currently in, so that we can embrace people and find new people that we have love for. Take care.